Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The book of Psalms, Psalm number 110. Psalm number 110. Give you a few thoughts tonight that I pray will be a blessing. And I want to be a help. I just want to be a help to somebody. And the Lord helped me with this, and I think if He helped me with this, it'll help you. Amen. Psalm number 110 and verse number 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, very important. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. In other words, this is an oath that God made with the Son. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest, talking about the Lord Jesus, because we know that according to the book of Hebrews. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Not going to get in all of that tonight because that's a deep, deep well. But what you need to understand is this psalm is a psalm about the king priest. In the Old Testament, there was a division between the king and the priest. We know there was three divisions, prophet, priest, king. How many Bible students we got in the house tonight? And Jesus is our prophet, He is our priest, and He is our king. You see, Israel desired a king. Israel desired a democracy or a monarchy, and God wanted a theocracy. The way it was all the way from Adam until King Saul, God wanted to rule the people of Israel. King priest. You've got all the way from Adam down the line. Remember when old Abraham met Melchizedek and Melchizedek blessed him? What he was doing, he was transferring the office of king priest. Is everybody still with me? Well, all of that got divided in the Old Testament in the Levitical priesthood and then in that Aaronic priesthood, but there it came back together in the gospel when there was one from the line of Judah who was the Lord Jesus Christ, and there was one from the Levitical line who was John the Baptist. And there on the banks of the Jordan River, Jesus walked out. I'm going somewhere, and I'll let you see it in just a second. Jesus walked out on the banks of the Jordan River, and John Baptist pointed him out and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And Jesus said, you've got to baptize me. And John said, I'm not worthy to baptize you. And you know what John said right there? He said these famous words that we all know as children of God. He must increase, and I must decrease. And it was more than the individual John and Jesus. Brother Verlin, what he was saying is the priesthood is yielding to the king. And there at the banks of the Jordan River and in the Jordan, the king priest came back together. And Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek. And guess what? You and I that have been born in the family, we're after that same order. Because Revelation chapter number 1 says, since we've been cleansed and washed in the blood of Jesus, He has made us kings and priests. And that's what this psalm is about. But I'm not going to preach all that. I'm going to preach something that's on my heart. You can be seated. We've been studying in our church on Wednesday nights the book of Hebrews, and I love this passage. It's very deep, and it's got some depth to it, but don't miss what God says right here. If you look at this passage, look at verse number 1. The Bible said, the Lord said unto my Lord. Y'all looking at your Bible? Look at your Bible. Very important. The Lord said unto my Lord. Y'all see differences in those Lords? There's a big difference in those Lords. The first Lord is in all caps. Why now the second Lord just has a capital L and then a lowercase O-R-D. And here's what David is writing. He's writing about an eternal conversation that took place between God the Father and God the Son. An eternal conversation. He said, the Lord, Jehovah, said unto my Lord, Adonai. The Lord God, Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, said unto my Lord, Adonai, Master, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies my footstool. Is that what your Bible said? Now, I don't know if that rings any bells in your heart, but when I read that, there's something that goes off in my soul that God let David get a glimpse of something that took place in eternity past, that God let David see something beyond Genesis chapter number 1, where the Bible said in the beginning was God. And God said, let there be. It goes way beyond the creation. It goes way beyond when the birds appeared in the air. And when the water began to fill the pools, and when the animals began to roam, and when Jesus, a formed man out of the dust of the ground. Well, this statement right here is way back yonder in eternity. And God let David get a glimpse. Boy, I read that a few weeks ago, and boy, it started swelling up in my soul that God let David get a glimpse of an eternal conversation between the Father and the Son. You do understand tonight that Bethlehem was not the start of the Lord Jesus. You do understand that the womb of a virgin from Nazareth was not the start of the Lord Jesus. But way back yonder, before there was anything, there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And he said, Son, he said, I want you to sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. He said, there's going to come a time when I'm going to turn your enemies into your footstool. An eternal conversation that God the Father had with God the Son. That's very important. You do understand that Jesus was under the determinate counsel of Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 23 when God ordained before the foundation of the world that he was going to be the lamb slain. This thing of Calvary was no accident. This thing of Calvary was not a mistake, but it was foreordained by God Almighty that Jesus would be the Savior, that Jesus would be the Lamb, that Jesus would go and take our sin. I'm thankful God had a plan for you and I. I don't know if God loves me or not. There may be a sinner saying, I'm going to tell you something. Way, 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 way back yonder. Before there was ever even the first man, God had you on his mind. That's shouting ground right there. That makes me want to run all the way to Galax and back. That way back yonder, God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost had a conversation about you and I. And Jesus was determined. He set his face like a flint to go to Calvary. He was that willing ox of Mark, that willing servant that kept pressing on and kept pressing on and had his face set to Jerusalem. Why? Because it had already been determined in eternity past that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost had a redemption plan and was going to save men and women, boys and girls like you and I. He knew some of us was going to need a Savior. He knew all of us was going to need a Savior. He knew all of us needed to be rescued out of hell. And God Almighty planned it in eternity past. That's what David's writing about here. He's bigger than the giant killer. He's more than the songwriter. He's more than the king of Israel. He was a prophet. He saw some things. That's why he wrote Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. In Psalm 22, it talks about the past work of the shepherd. In Psalm 23, it talks about the present work of the shepherd. In Psalm 24, it talks about the future work of the shepherd. In Psalm 22, you see a cross. In Psalm 23, you see a crook. And in Psalm 24, you see a crown. Over yonder in Psalm 22, you see a Savior. In Psalm 23, you see a shepherd. In Psalm 24, you see a sovereign. He didn't just pin them words down because he couldn't sleep one night. The Holy Ghost Brother Josh was prodding him. He saw things God Almighty let him see. And God said, you write these words. Jehovah the Lord said unto Adonai, the master, sit on my right hand. Don't you think? Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2 said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I've heard that preached a lot of different ways. I've heard people sing, and I love the song. We sing it at our church. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. How many of you have ever cried on that song? How many of you have ever shouted on that song? How many of the Holy Ghost has ever took your mind's eye up back to Calvary and you saw Jesus there looking in time and seeing you from the cross? I got better news than that. He thought about you before the cross. He thought about you before the baptism. He thought about you before the temptation. He thought about you before he was standing in the temple teaching those doctors and lawyers. Whoa, way back yonder, he had Jonah's mind before there was ever a creation, before there was ever a world. God had you on his mind. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching. I've been hung up, Brother Barker, on that determinate counsel. And I'm not a Calvinist, I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. But I do believe in a sovereign God. I also believe in the responsibility of man. But you can't tear it out that God had a plan. And God had a purpose. Oh yes, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they determined a long time ago. And you know what kept Jesus going? I know we were on his mind, but I believe it's more than that. You know what? That determinate counsel means an appointed place in time that God determined. See, I believe Jesus was conceived at the exact moment God wanted him conceived. And I believe he died at the exact moment that God wanted him to die. And I believe he rose again at the exact moment that was determined he would rise again. Oh, but it gets even better. I believe he's coming back at the exact time that God determined for him to come back. I believe all of that is in the plan of God. Son, I don't know how y'all sleep at night, but I'm going to tell you how I do. It ain't from drinking liquor. It ain't from popping a pill. Oh no, you know how I lay my head on my pillow at night? It's because I know I have a heavenly Father that has all things under his power. And at that determined moment, he is going to come and rescue his children from this world. Hey, weeping may endure for the night, but aren't you glad that joy is coming in the morning? I don't know what you're facing this evening. I don't know what trial you may find yourself in, but there's a God in heaven that's got it all under control. What's that guy hollering about? I get excited. Forgive me. But if I preached as slow as Joel Osteen, we'd be here 3 hours. If you don't like banjos, you probably listen to Joel too. I love you, brother. What was I talking about? God's got a plan. Now watch this. He said, I want you to sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. How many of y'all know right now? How many of y'all know right now that in this world he is mocked, he is ridiculed, he is scorned? But David said that the Father and Son had a conversation. And he said, see, when he said, sit thou at my right hand, that gives us, there's a period of time before his enemies become his footstool. That gives us a place of patience. That gives us a place where Jesus just has to sit. And I know he's God the Son. Don't you please don't misunderstand that I am belittling the Son of God. But the Father and Son did have a conversation. And they had a determination that he was going, God said. In fact, Acts chapter number 22, verse 23 says, Jesus being delivered
delivered. That's an important word. Peter was a preacher, and them Pharisees did not like what he was saying. He said, this Jesus whom you crucified, he said, this same Jesus, he said, he was delivered. You didn't take him. He was delivered. He was given. They didn't know Roman soldier take the life of Christ. It was not Pilate that took the life of Christ. It was not the Sanhedrin that took the life of Christ. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He said, I'm going to freely give it and I'll freely take it back. He said, you can tear down this temple, but in 3 days, I'm going to bring it back up. And Jesus freely offered himself. He delivered himself. He gave himself up. And when he knew that all things were fulfilled, he said, I thirst. And then he gave up the ghost. He yielded up the spirit. You know why? Had he not, he'd have kept on living. And at the appointed time, breath came back in that body. Don't ever let anybody tell you Jesus was murdered. Did y'all hear what I just said? He was crucified, but he was not murdered. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone. He was in complete control. He was in complete control. And when he saw everything was accomplished, he said, I thirst. And when he knew he gave that last jot and that last tittle of that old covenant, that Old Testament, he breathed that breath and gave up his life. Death did not arrest him. Jesus turned himself into death. He locked himself up. And when he wanted to unlock himself, that's exactly what he did. If I was going to break out of the Surrey County Jail, well, first of all, I'm going to do my dead level best not to end up in the Surrey County Jail. But if I'm over yonder for some reason, maybe slapping Josh Hazelwood one of these days, telling me I could play the bass better or something, I don't know. He's hard on me. If I do something dumb enough to end up in the jail cell, the first thing I'm not going to do is tell them I'm getting out. Hey, everybody, just want y'all to know I'm not staying in here. If you're going to have a prison break, you ain't going to tell it. And then I'm sure not going to tell them when I'm going to do it. And I'm sure not going to tell them how I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep it all to myself. But you know what Jesus did for 3.5 years? He went around all of Israel telling them, I'm going to break out. I'm going to break out. And I'm going to do it in 3 days. And this is how I'm going to do it. You know why? He was in complete control. Oh, Lord. Well, I'm not even on my notes, so my sermon just went from 30 minutes to 35. I hope y'all are all right. The Father and Son had a conversation. God gave David a glimpse of an eternal conversation. He said, son, you're going to be delivered. You're going to be given up. You're going to be slain. You're going to be crucified. You're going to be beaten beyond recognition. You're going to shed every ounce of your blood. I don't know if that does something in y'all's soul. Oh, but the Holy Ghost is doing cartwheels in my soul. Oh, I ain't got over the fact that he gave his life. I haven't got over the fact that he went to Calvary for me. If Calvary bores you, you got a serious spiritual problem. I'm still excited that I had a Savior that went to Calvary, that bled every drop of blood, that gave up his life, that became a servant and obedient unto death. God said, you're going to be slain, you're going to be delivered, you're going to be given up, you're going to be crucified. Death, you're going to have to deliver your body to death. And then I'm going to raise you up. But then you're going to have to sit at my right hand. And the enemies are going to have their time. I don't know how y'all feel, but I'm about sick of this world. Yes. I said, I'm about sick of this world. He said, you're going to have to stay by my side until I make your enemies your footstool. You listen to this preacher this evening. The story of the Lord Jesus Christ is not finished. Oh, I said the story of the Lord Jesus Christ is not finished. The gospel of Jesus is not finished. You have not heard the last of Jesus. He has gone away. He is behind the veil. He is in the third heaven. But the day of the Lord is on schedule. The day of the Lord is on the Father's calendar. And the Father and the Son have already had a conversation. I said the Father and Son have already determined it. They laid it out perfectly. Now you can believe what you want to believe. I believe the joy set before him. I believe the joy set before him is Philippians 2. When he knows the enemies are done, the enemies have been silenced. There's no more scorning. There's no more mocking. Oh, that's the joy that was set before him. You know what he said? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. You know what he said? I'm headed that direction. I am going to fulfill the will of my Father. I am going to do exactly what my Father wants me to do. He said, I've got to occupy. He said, I've got to keep on going, being about my Father's business. How many of you know we're living in a world right now that hates the name Jesus? We're here on a Friday night singing songs, glory to his name. Brother Matt opened up tonight with glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. I'll promise you that song don't fit in down yonder at the bar scene. Sadly, that song does not even fit in our school halls. That song does not fit in down at the universities. That song is not welcome in the halls of our government. We've seen a generation come upon the scene that absolutely hates the name of Jesus. You young people sitting in here tonight, you better hear Brother Jeremy for just a second. You ought to thank God you got a mom and a daddy that bring you to an old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone church that still lifts up the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's nothing in this world that can satisfy you. There's nothing in this world that can fix your problem. But there is some power in a name. I said there's some power in a name. There's a name that is above every name. And I'm glad I know that name. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Right now his name is mocked and his name is ridiculed, but the Father and the Son had a conversation. This is a Dollar General special and I hope it holds me. My wife loves Dollar General and Big Lots, and I use something from Big Lots or Dollar General about 2 days and it breaks. This is the second sermon that I've used this stool, and I'm a little bit nervous. He said, you sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Right now, Jesus is behind the veil. How many of you love our Savior? You know why you're here on a Friday night? I hope you're here for more reasons than just because your pastor get mad because you're a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or a singer or whatever. I hope you're here tonight because you love Jesus. I hope you read your Bible every day because you love Jesus. I hope you pray every day because you love Jesus. I hope somebody's going out in these hills and telling somebody the name of Jesus. But right now, he's behind the veil. Right now, he is in the third heaven with the Father. He's being patient. God said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And right now, they hate him. And right now, they deny him. And right now, they ridicule him. And right now, they mock him. But there is coming a day day when every Bible denier, there's coming a day when every God hater, there's coming a day when every atheist, there's coming a day when every mocker, there's coming a day when every ridiculer, there's coming a day when every derider, there's coming a day when every demon of hell is going to have to bow at the feet of Jesus. There's coming a day when the Antichrist is going to bow and say, "You're Lord." There's coming a day when the false prophet's going to bow, and even old Satan himself is going to have to bow at the feet of Jesus, because God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. One of these days, the devil is going to have to crawl to the feet of the footstool of our Lord. Woo-hoo! I said one of these days the devil is going to have to say, "Jesus, you are Lord. You are Master. You are the one only God. I worship you. I tell you I'm sorry, and you're God alone." I'd hate to think that the devil ever had a shouting spell before I had one. That old slewfoot, deceiver, devourer, destroyer, accuser of the brethren. Well, I ain't never had no problem with the devil. Well, you probably ain't never hit him face to face if you're walking the same direction. But I've run into satanic forces. I've had times, Brother Dan, when I got up to preach and I could feel the breath of demons all over me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you feel the attack, I hate that guy. I ain't got nothing good to say about him. You might be on speaking terms with him. If you are, go tell him he's a jerk. Well, I wouldn't call the devil a jerk. What, is he your best friend? If we weren't in church, I'd call him worse than that. He's a jerk. The devil ain't done me one good thing. He's a liar from the beginning. That old jerk. That old knothead. He's a knothead. I wouldn't call him that. Why? It's scriptural. The seed of the woman's going to bruise the head of the serpent. At Calvary, Jesus put a knot on his head. It's so big you could put a platter on it and serve six courses. I'm telling you, he's got a knot on his head. And one day that old knothead, if you're around here anywhere, and if any of your crowd's around here, you probably ain't here. But just so some of you's around here, go tell him I said so, demons, one of these days. God is going to turn the enemies of Christ into his footstool. You know what I say? Even so come. Can I preach a little bit right here before I get to what I really want to preach about? Dear God, he's already been preaching 25 minutes and he said he ain't got what he want to preach. One of these days, Jesus is coming. He's going to get what's coming to him. All the pain, all the agony. I mean, just the changing of his eternal form was enough. I mean, what he was pre-Bethlehem to what he was post-Bethlehem, totally different. Y'all understand the gravity of that? He altered his eternal form. And he's going to get what's coming. I think sometime, Brother Barker, we think about the coming of the Lord selfishly. I wonder what it would do to our lives if we would think about his coming for what he's going to get. Oh, he's God. You don't think it breaks the heart of the Lord to hear the cursing and the mocking and the ridiculing? You don't think it hurts the heart of our Lord the way the average Baptist lives their life? But there's coming a day when he's going to get what's coming. Now here's what I want to preach. Oh, I know that bothered some of you. But it's all right. Because this is what helped me. He said, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And I begin to think about a footstool. What is a footstool for? Now, mandolin player, this won't help you at all, because, I mean, you know, duh-huh. You don't have to worry about this. We also have things called ladders. I'll tell you about it after church. But a footstool, you know what a footstool is for, Brother Jonathan? A footstool is something put in place to help you reach a higher level. And God told Jesus, I am going to make your enemies something that's going to exalt you. I'm going to turn your enemies into something that's going to lift you up. So here's the title of the message. Man preaches 25 minutes and then gives us a title. Where did he go to Bible college? I want to preach on this thought for just a few more minutes, and I promise. Elevated by the enemy. Because here's what the truth is. I told you at the beginning, this is a king-priest psalm. We are now kings and priests. Brother Heath, if God could take the enemies of Christ and turn them into his footstool, guess what he can do for us, king and priest? He can take our enemies and turn them into footstools. Oh, glory to God. Now, when I said enemies, you thought about somebody, and you're wrong. I ain't talking about your wife. Josh, I'm not talking about your wife. Tanya, I'm not talking about your husband, okay? I know it's hard to believe, but he's not your enemy and she's not your enemy. Y'all. The reason I used y'all is because my wife told me to stop using her in illustrations. And I just did. Duh. Stupid. I'll pay for that one. No, I won't. Your enemy's not your brother across the aisle. Your enemy's not your sister over there. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. If we could really get in tune with who our enemies are, it'd help us. The world, Satan, and the worst of them all, me, the flesh. And God said, I can take your enemies and I can elevate you with them. Well, glory to God. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I'm glad you said that. Let's look at another psalm of David. Go to Psalm 27. I'll read this one. If God can use the enemy to elevate the son, he can use the enemy to elevate any son. Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Well, preacher, that's human beings there he's talking about. Yeah, but those are human beings being influenced by the world, being influenced by self, and being influenced by Satan. And you know what the Bible said? When they came up to eat my flesh, they stumbled. They were setting a trap for me, and God ended up setting a trap for them. And David said, in the next passage, though an host should encamp me against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. If you know anything about that pavilion and secret of the tabernacle, it is a picture of the throne room of God. You know what David said? He's going to hide me at his right hand. He shall set me up. Y'all see that? He shall set me up upon a rock. You know what David is saying in that passage? God's going to take the enemy and he's going to elevate me. Your enemies are not meant to destroy you. Your enemies are meant to develop you. Your enemies are not meant to finish you. They are meant to forward you. They are not meant to end you. They are meant to exalt you. Your enemies are not meant to terminate you. Your enemies are meant to transform you. And here's what I want to ask you. What's the message tonight? Eliminated by the enemy or elevated by the enemy? Because I know a lot of people in my ministry over the last 26 years that I've seen the world, flesh, and devil eliminate them. And then I've seen others under the power of the Holy Spirit see those enemies elevate them. It is not time for you to run from the Bible when your enemy comes against you. It's time to run to the Bible. It is not time to run from the prayer closet when the enemy comes against you. It's time to run to the prayer closet. It's not the time to get out of church. It's the time to get in church. Brother Barker, one, have you seen that over your ministry? Same enemies, world, flesh, devil. One person's eliminated, one person's elevated. What's the difference? Preacher, how do I overcome being eliminated so I can be elevated? You know, it's the story of the Bible. Now, y'all don't like enemies, right? Ain't nobody in here likes the enemy. Come on now. But there will come a day, if you live close enough to God, God will let you shout about your enemy. Well, come on, preacher. I'm listening. I don't know if I'm with you yet, but I'm listening. I'm going to say something else right here. It's going to probably make some of you walk out on me. No, not really. There's one of these days we're going to shout because the devil come against us. I don't know if I'm there yet, but I believe it's going to come a time when I'm going to thank God for the devil. I will say this. The devil's made me a better Christian. The devil's made me a better preacher. The devil has helped my prayer life. The devil has helped me and my wife become closer. Can you thank God for the flesh? Can you thank God for the world? Can you thank God for the satanic forces? If you'll hide at His right hand, there can come a time when you say, the enemy didn't eliminate me. The enemy elevated me. I'm real happy right now. Not just because I'm in church, not just because the Holy Ghost is jumping up and down in my soul, but I'm real happy right now for something carnal. Football season's almost here. My wife was enjoying this service until I said that. I love football. I played football, and I'll tell you something about football. What makes football so good is there's a team on both sides of the ball. Could you imagine what football or basketball or any sport would be? I mean, somebody could step up in the batter's box of baseball, tap the ball, run all the way around the bases if it wasn't nine opposers. These 11 on this side of the football, they could hand it off to the weakest child in this building. It might take him a long time to do the 100-yard dash and run from end zone to end zone, but the smallest kid in this building could run down the field and score a touchdown if there was no enemy. What would the glory be of a youngin making a layup if there was not an opposing five? Now, y'all can agree with this statement. It'll be okay, but I think the greatest running back that ever played the game was Barry Sanders. I think he just had his talent hidden in a place called Detroit, Michigan. Bless his soul. And that old boy, he had to run through holes where there weren't no holes. And it was glorious to watch him hit somebody and spin. And then juke them this way and spin this way. And whoop, and there you go. You know what makes the touchdown so awesome? It's because you broke a tackle. You busted through the defense. One of these days, I'm just trying to help you. You're going to rejoice. Look what God helped me get through. Boy, it looked awful when I was headed toward it, but the grace of God busted me through. Well, look where I've come. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. Now y'all understanding why you might can shout over the enemy? If there were no enemies, nobody would ever stand in a service and say, y'all ain't gonna believe what God brought me through this week. I said there'd be no services where somebody weep and cry and say, I just want to thank God for helping me overcome. I came through something this week I thought was going to kill me. But instead of eliminating me, it elevated me to worship God. Amen. Got a question. Are you going to be eliminated? Or are you going to be elevated? Hallelujah. See, you need an enemy. You need an enemy. Jesus was elevated because of the enemy. Jesus was exalted, lifted up. And what he was prior to Philippians 2 was equal with God. But God is going to highly exalt him. God is going to, he's already exalted, but he's going to be highly exalted. Come here, Hunter. Come here. Yeah. I know, I'm sorry you can't sit beside her for the next 3 minutes. It's okay. Jesus, Son, you're going to be crucified. You're going to be slain. You're going to bleed. You're going to yield your body to death. You're going to be in the grave 3 days. But I'll not see the Holy One see corruption. You're going to come back up. And then you're going to come back to my throne. And you're just going to sit right here. And you're going to see a lot of mockery and a lot of ridicule and a lot of ugliness in humanity. But you just be patient. Do you know the secret to being elevated instead of eliminated? Getting at the right hand of the Father. If you run from the book, run from your prayer closet, run from the church, run from the preacher, when the enemy hits, you're going to be eliminated. The secret is getting real close to the Father. Had there been no crucifixion, there would have been no resurrection. Had there been no cross, there would be no crown. Brother Barker's got a book, I believe, on the seven sayings. We love preaching on them seven sayings. Did you know in the passages of Calvary, Jesus talked to the Father more than any other passages? When you go through the cross, when the enemies crucify you, that's the time you get closer to the Father than any other. I don't know what enemy you're facing. You may be battling the flesh. You may be battling the devil. You may be battling the world. But I got some news for you. If you'll just get at the right hand, it won't eliminate you. At some point, it'll elevate you. My wife, my children, and I hate to get personal, but it just fits, so I'm going to say it. A few years back, we went through one of the greatest trials we've ever been through. And in that moment, I said, I'm eliminated. I'm done. This is going to kill me. I ain't never going to be. Let me tell you something. I am happier tonight than I have ever been in my life. I am closer to the Lord than I've ever been in my life. I got more joy in my soul than I've ever had in my life. You know what? What I thought was going to eliminate me took me from one position and placed me in another position. I guarantee you there's some folks here tonight that you went through something in the past and you thought you were not going to make it. But look at you. Here you are. And you're not where you used to be. But you're on a higher plane. And God has lifted you up to higher ground. You weren't eliminated. You were elevated by the enemy. It ought to be a good testimony. It ought to be a good testimony to somebody that's fighting hell by the acre right now. When I was going through that trial, I'll never forget it. Brother Tom Walker grabbed me and hugged me and he said, "Boy, you're going to make it through this. I've been through it. You're going to make it." You know what I can tell you tonight? You can make it. You can make it. That trial that you're going through, God's going to show you what to do. You can make it. You can make it. I don't care what's going wrong. God won't let it last too long. You're not in this thing alone. You can make it. I've already come. I've already seen. I don't know what the enemy's got for me tomorrow. I don't know what my family may face tomorrow. Just a little over a year ago, we thought we was going to lose Ezekiel. I'm telling you, we still have days where we worry about him. We're still there. Jeremiah and Bree are still there. Zeke still falls probably 100 times a day. But you know what we saw? We saw the grace of God. Amen. Jeremiah and Bree thought that was going to eliminate them. You know what God did with that trial? He elevated them. Amen. Jeremiah's singing's more powerful. Jeremiah's preaching is more powerful. Jeremiah's ministry has flourished. He thought he was going to be eliminated. Guess what God did? He just picked him up to a higher place. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but God is able to turn your enemy.